Really great to see all of you here this morning. Hope you're feeling blessed, knowing the Lord, and living for Him. Let's open up in prayer for Sunday school. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning to know You and to serve You. We know we need Your grace this morning, and we just ask as we get into Your Word that You will not only teach us, but enable us to do Your Word and to live for You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life often throws things at us that we don't always expect. Isn't that true? Especially as we get older. And, you know, sometimes we think nothing's going to happen to us or we've got all the time in the world, when in reality we don't, because our lives are in God's hands. We never know what's going to happen. I was really surprised when I found out that I had cancer. Devastating. But then I realized that God had a purpose in it, and He has enabled me to overcome to this point. So I'm so thankful. And through it all, He's helped me to enjoy life more, or at least want to enjoy life more, and to realize that life is a gift, and life is an opportunity to live for Him, because our time is short, right? Our lives are short in comparison to eternity and in comparison to God. And that's what we're going to learn this morning, that we are now children of light. We are to live as children of light, and we are to take every opportunity that God gives us to live for Him. And so, in other words, we could sum it up like this. We are to seek to make the most of our lives while we can, right? Let's look at Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21. These are great verses because they're talking about being filled with the Spirit, and that should be something that we are all interested in and that we all seek to do daily. So, let's read those verses. Verses 15 through 21, I'll read. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Boy, there's a lot here, a lot of good stuff. So as this morning, as we seek to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit, the first thing we see is we are to walk circumspectly. Circumspectly. Now, let me tell you what that word means, because I had to find out what it means myself. In the Bible, the Greek word circumspectly means accurately or carefully. So we are to walk accurately or carefully. Question: why do we need to walk circumspectly in this world? Tom. Boy, isn't that true? Very well put. Good. Good. Any other comments? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah, we certainly need to be circumspect in regard to what we're hearing these days, teaching. There's a lot of false teaching, error being spread around. Sure. Yes. Amen. Amen. So we certainly need to walk circumspectly. Man, very good. Any other thoughts on that? Oh, yeah, Fernando. Yeah. We're finally able to. Amen. Great point. And that's what we need to understand, is we weren't able to before. We are now through Christ, through believing in Christ, and having all the resources of God available to us as Christians. As Pastor said this morning, we are complete in Christ. Now we're able to live for God, know Him. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Okay, our Pastor.
We live in evil days, evil people, which we were a part of.
Mm-hmm. So we got to be very careful in our lives. Just like it says in 1 John, right? 1 John 4, do not believe every spirit, beloved, but test the spirits to see that they are of God. You know, can't be gullible and fall for everything. So, okay. This morning, you know, just a little bit about what has been before. We have seen that we're no longer in darkness. We have a new identity, thank God, right? Since we've trusted in Christ, we're no longer in the kingdom of darkness, but now we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We're now in Christ. We're now in grace. We're now new creations, right? We can go on and on. We're now children of God. And because of that, well, Paul says in verse 8, we're no longer of darkness, children of light. We are to walk as children of light. And because we are, and as Fernando said, because we are able to live for God now, we want to please God, right? In everything we do, or we should want to. And verses 9 and 10, we should want to live for what is good, follow what is good, and determine what the will of God is in our lives so we can follow God. We are to be followers of God. That's how we started this chapter, imitators. So that's why it says in verse 15, see then. The idea about that is, see to it then, because you are now a child of light in Christ by grace. See to it then that you walk in that way. challenge, right? For all of us. See to it that you walk. And then again, he's using that word walk, right? And that's one of the theme words in these last three chapters, the practical application of the doctrine of Christ that we saw in the first three chapters. Now we are to walk in not only the doctrine of Christ, but we are to seek to follow Christ. And so the idea of walking means that we want and seek to please God in every area of our lives and in everything that we do. That's the idea. It has to do with the totality of our lives and our personalities that we now seek to live for God and please God in every aspect of our lives, even the little things like reflecting Christ at home as a parent in the way we interact with our children, our husbands, our wives, everything, the way we treat people that we work with. We are to walk circumspectly, very carefully. We live in an evil world, right? Just as the pastor said, there's a lot of pitfalls and there's a lot of obstacles in this world that we need to avoid and we need to be careful of. Sometimes, do you feel like you're a soldier in a minefield and trying to walk around a minefield in this life? We need God's grace. Or maybe you feel like you're a tightrope walker walking on a very thin tightrope trying to get to the very end. You know, you got to do it very carefully. That's how we need to live, carefully, accurately, dependent upon God. Not as fools, but as wise. See, the fool doesn't want to live for God at all. It says in Psalm 53, right? The fool has said in his heart what? There is no God. So he lives for himself, right? As if there is no God, and that's the greatest folly. That's the greatest problem, right? We look around at this beautiful world God created, all the seasons and every intricacy about our bodies and everything, and we realize as believers that how could that be? There is a God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So it's sheer stupidity and foolishness to live as if there is no God, to live without God. That's sad. The wise person walks circumspectly. That's it. You know, we don't sleep through the world. You know, we walk with wisdom that we get from God according to His Word. And we seek to please God. We know we have a purpose. We know God's created us. God saved us. And therefore, there's great purpose in our lives. So we're also to redeem the time. Verses 16 and 17. In what ways are you trying to make the most of your life? That's a good question, huh? Some of you, if you've had or have physical illnesses or are going through tremendous problems, you understand not only how difficult it is in this world, but how much we need God, and you know how important it is that we try to make the most of our time here. Yes, Tom. Exactly. Amen. Not living solely for ourselves, but seeking to love God and others. As we love God, we will be loving others. You can't separate the two, right? Can't separate loving God from loving your Christian brother and loving others. Any other thoughts or comments about that? What ways are you trying to make the most of your life? Okay, now that's another good question. We got two questions there. Paul, your hand, then Michelle. Paul? Very good. Yeah, Michelle. Yeah. Well, I think you really hit it on the head. Well put. Isn't that great? Storing up our treasures in heaven, not on this earth, because they corrupt, like you say, moth and rust corrupt. So the challenge for us this morning, as Pastor said, to ask ourselves, what are we living for? Are we living for God, and are we seeking to store up our treasures in heaven? That's a good thing for us to think about here. I just love these verses. Redeeming the time. The wise person redeems the time. Now, that word redeeming, notice the tense. It's not only it's a present continuous tense, which means that we are to continually be redeeming the time as Christians. Now, the word redeeming in the Greek means to buy out. I like that because it's visual for me. And it comes from the Greek word agorazo, which means marketplace. So in the ancient days, you would go to the marketplace, and even today, you go to a produce stand maybe, or a market, and bananas are like 25 cents a pound. What are you going to do? Give me all those bananas. You buy them out. You take the opportunity to get a good deal. And you buy that out. That's the idea of this word. The spiritual idea of that is that God is always giving us opportunities to do good and to serve Him, but are we aware of them and are we taking those opportunities? That's the idea of redeeming the time. It goes along with making the most of our lives. Redeeming the time. The word time means a due season or a determined amount of time. In other words, a time that God has given us, an allotted time to do good and to live, Think of that. God has given us the blessing of living for Him and of knowing Christ, and we, in turn, have to take those blessings and see those blessings and use them for His glory. That's the idea. It's continuous, continual. It takes effort, redeeming the time. The wise person takes advantage of God's opportunities that He brings. And the question is for you this morning and myself, what are the opportunities that God is bringing you now that He would want you to do? That's a personal question. And me. Because whenever the Word of God goes out this way, it always comes back this way. Cuts me first. All this has to do with what it means to be Spirit-filled, filled with the Spirit. So Paul is talking about from verse 15 of chapter 5 all the way to chapter 6, verse number 9. He's talking about what the Spirit-filled life looks like in a practical way. We're going to be talking about what it means to be Spirit-filled, to be filled with the Spirit. And then after that, he goes on to say and show us what the Spirit-filled marriage looks like, what God wants in parenting, how we should serve Him as employees, employers, and so forth. Very practical. We're going to be talking about that in the next weeks. But right now, he tells us that we are to be about making the most of the time that God has given us, or redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Two aspects there for me. First of all, life is short. It's brief. When you're young, you think you got all the time in the world. When you're old, you realize, wow, I don't have that much time. What is life about? What is really important? That's how we should be thinking. Because the days are evil. So we redeem the time because life's short. James says life is like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow, right? Our lives, in light of eternity, in light of God. And in light of the fact that the days are evil. In other words, this world's evil. There's a lot of trouble in the world. And Lord knows we, each of us, have our own share of trouble, right? That comes our way every single day. We should wake up every morning and say, God, help me to face this day. Give me the strength. And we should pray, God, fill me with your Spirit and let me walk by your Spirit today. The idea of redeeming the time means that in light of the darkness of the world in which we live and all the trouble in the world, we need to find God's opportunities and the good that God is giving us and working in our lives. And we need to seek to not only see that, but take those opportunities to do good and to glorify God in our lives. Easier said than done, but we can do it by God's grace. So the wise person seeks to serve God, walk circumspectly, redeem the time. The fool just lives for himself and kind of wastes his life. So there he says in verse 17, the conclusion, therefore, do not be unwise. The tense here of that sentence is, or the idea is, that the people, the Ephesians that Paul is writing to, are starting to go in that direction where they are not walking circumspectly. And so Paul is saying, stop being unwise. That's what this means. Stop being unwise, but understand what the will of God is. How can we do the will of God if we don't understand the will of God or what the will of God is, right? And how can we understand what the will of God is? Right here. The Word of God. That's why we're a Bible teaching church. That's why we're teaching you expositionally, verse by verse, so that you will understand God's Word, the will of God, and you will be equipped to live God's life, the life God has for you. May I say that this means, to me at least, that the wise person lives for the will of God, and the life that's fruitful and satisfying is a life that's lived for God and His will. I always love our Lord Jesus, the verses in John 4 where the Lord says, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish His work. And I've often thought about that in my own life, in times where I'm kind of in neutral or going in reverse a little bit. Hey, stop. You got to live for the will of God. That's it, the will of God. I like what John said, right, in 1 John, that the life that has meaning is the one who does the will of God. That's the life that will remain. And I like kind of Paul's statement. I think we get really caught up in doing the things that seem to be important but aren't the most important things. So, lastly, we are to be filled with the Spirit. Most of you know these verses. We should really know them. We should be turning to them in our Bible a lot because we should want to be filled with the Spirit as Christians. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. What are some implications of this for our lives? Verse 18. Gee, this is great. I stumped you. Either I stumped you or it's a really bad question. It could be a question you don't understand.
Not seeking joy, fulfillment in the law. In comparison, seeking that.
Great. And that's what he's doing. He's making a comparison here to the worldly person. He's been talking about the person that doesn't know God, not living for God, living in darkness, and the person that's just filling himself with something from the outside, which is an intoxicant, getting drunk. And that leads to what? What's that word? Well, In King James, it says excess. Some of you may have that. My translation says dissipation. What's the idea of that? What? A waste. That's perfect. That's exactly the word I think of. That means waste. It's a waste of our lives, isn't it? Just to live for ourselves. You're getting drunk, and unfortunately, many people are so empty and unhappy these days. And I even think back to myself before I was saved. You know, I didn't have a clue about the Lord, that they're just drinking their lives away, they're taking drugs, can't face life. But now it should be different. We have the Lord, we have life, and now we should have joy in our life. Life's no longer a waste, even though we go through trials, right? And some real hard things. But we can be fruitful. God brings fruit in our lives if we're filled with the Spirit. See the difference there? Great thing. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The word be filled means be continuously filled. That's the idea of it. And how do we do that? So it isn't what we have to understand, that this command about the filling of the Spirit is different. We got to distinguish it from what we call the baptism of the Spirit. We're not commanded to be baptized in the Spirit. That is something that's already happened, right? When we received Christ as our Savior, we were baptized into the body of Christ. And that idea means that we were placed into the body of Christ upon trusting Christ as our Savior. That is a once and for all thing. Also, it's to be distinguished from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? When was the believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Salvation. Again, when we trusted Christ and we received, praise God, the Holy Spirit, and every believer has the Holy Spirit. There's no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. We all have the Holy Spirit if we're believers. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Very, very important verse. Write it down. You want to look at that later. So that's the idea here. Being filled with the Spirit is a daily thing. It takes effort, and it's not automatic. And how are we filled with the Spirit? Well, I want to take you to a verse that really shows that. Turn to Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16. As we let the Word of God dwell richly in our lives, we are filled with the Spirit. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And I love what John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur, says about these verses, this verse. So if you look at this verse, at the very end of this verse, you will see the consequences or the fruits of being filled with the Spirit in these verses that is very similar to Ephesians 5 that we're studying. And so the deduction there, what we see there, is how then are we filled with the Spirit and have God produce these fruits? It's through the Word of God, which is equated to the Word of Christ here. When we let that dwell richly in our heart and we're controlled by God and His Word and the Spirit, that's the idea of being Spirit-filled. When we're controlled by ourselves and the flesh, which we can be, that can be not so pretty, right? Okay, going back to Ephesians 5. Question. What are the fruits of a Spirit-filled life according to verses 19 through 21? When I say fruits here, I mean consequences of a Spirit-filled life according to these verses. I'm looking to Fernando because I know you have answers for now. Okay. I got to look to you, brother.
Purpose and joy.
Purpose and joy. Amen. And you really see the joy in verse 20. Verse 19. Sorry. Singing. The singing in your heart to the Lord. Joy. That's a fruit. What else? Being a thankful person. The way I look at that is in every situation we give thanks because of a few things. One, we know that if we're believers, God works everything together for good. Number two, we can give thanks always, the way I like to look at it, because God is with us always in all situations. I'm not necessarily, going to be thankful for the evil, but I'm thankful for God who is with me in a hard situation and an evil world. And He is enabling us to overcome and working things together for good. So, another quick answer to that is we give thanks always, and our thanksgiving goes to God because He is the source of everything, the source of our life, the source of our spiritual life, and therefore we as believers should give Him thanks for all things and all blessings. James 1. Mm-hmm. And that's true. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And exactly. And when we're giving thanks for God, we can give thanks to God for hard situations and even evil because He has a purpose in it and He's working that together in our lives and in the world for His will and His good purposes. So, yeah. Any other comments? So, okay, that's another good. So notice the verbs. Those are all fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, or the consequences. So joy, we're singing, and these are in the present continual tense, which means we are continually to sing to the Lord. We are continually to give thanks, being a thankful person instead of an ungrateful person. We have freely, God has freely given us salvation. We are to freely give, right? And submitting, another word. So these, interesting. What are the marks of a Spirit-filled life? Well, the person has joy. The person, we worship God in the Spirit. We worship God from our heart. Verse 19, that's true worship. All worship goes to the Lord, right? It's God-centered. Our lives should be lives of worship. In other words, every one of us as believers should seek to glorify God in every aspect of our lives, right? That's the idea. And I like the fact that, you know, we have been made worshipers of God, right? Jesus made us worshipers of God. We now know Him, and we worship Him now in spirit and in truth. Praise God. That's one aspect of being Spirit-filled. And then, as Tom said, being a thankful person. That's something I'm working 24 hours a day on trying to do. I look at it, Tom, as a habit in a very practical way, trying to be thankful. It's something we should continually strive to do. It should be a habit of our lives. And often, when we can look at disappointment, heartache, and even sin through the lens of God's grace and God's mercy, we can be thankful. And being thankful, like you said, can help us to do that. Such an important aspect of the Christian life. And then submitting. Spirit-filled person is not a proud person. It's not a person, he realizes or she realizes that she is not saved by anything on her own, but saved only through Jesus Christ and the grace of God only. And so this person seeks to be a humble person. That's the idea of submitting. That word in the Greek, that's a military word, which means to rank under. So in other words, it's like a soldier ranking under the commanding officer. But it's not a thing where it's a slavish, it's not a slavish, dictatorial type of thing. It's the fact that we as believers, out of love and debt for what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, aren't we debtors to grace now? We should willingly and lovingly submit ourselves to God and submit ourselves to other believers. That's the idea. It's not a forced thing. God puts a gun to our head or something like that. And look at true submission. I know people don't like that word these days, submission. It's a great word when you understand what it really is. It doesn't mean inferiority on one person or superiority of another person. When we're going to be talking about submission, you know, even of a wife next time, it has to do with God's design, and it has to do with the, God's grace, and that we submit, we all submit as believers to each other, but we do it in the fear of God. See, that's true submission. It's done out of love for God, in the reverence of God, and our submission to others comes out of our submission to God. That's the idea. That's true submission. So there's a lot here. What we see is that each of us are blessed by God because He has allotted to us not only His grace, but He has allotted to us times and opportunities in the midst of even an evil world and the shortness of our lives to take those opportunities and to see the good in life and to see the good that He's working in our lives and to seek to make the most of it and to serve Him in those opportunities. And the question is, are we doing that? Are we seeking to do that? So that's kind of challenge way in. Any closing questions or comments? Well, great. Thanks for coming out, and I just pray for God's blessing on your life as you serve Him, and as we seek to take the opportunities to serve Him and to love one another. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, thank You so much for Your grace this morning as we see Your love in our lives, and we see Your control of our lives. Enable us to serve You and fill us with Your Spirit and help us to be people who redeem the time, to be people who walk circumspectly, wisely, to be people who seek to do Your will above all else and seek to please You. For this is the life worth living, Lord. Help us to live out the fact that we are children of light and walk in that way by Your grace. I ask for Your blessings on each and every person here and ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.